got your Bible, go ahead and open it up. We're going to be in two different passages this morning, and we're sort of going to bounce back and forth. So go ahead and open and put a bookmark in two places, Matthew 28 and 2 Timothy chapter 2. And while you're turning, I'll tell you a quick story. When I was 19, I went on a mission trip to Mozambique, Africa, for just under a month. I lived in a tent. There was no electricity. There was no plumbing, no running water, no restrooms. It was a new experience for me, for sure. If you're not familiar with the country or where it is, you can see it on the screen down there, sort of at the bottom of Africa, to the, what is that, the east there of South Africa. And at the time that I went, the country was under communist rule. They had just come out of a 30-year-long civil war that brought a lot of death and destruction to their country. It was unbelievable seeing it in person. And next door in South Africa, during that civil war, there was a pastor that ministered to the refugees that were able to escape Mozambique and make it into South Africa. He started a church among the refugees there. His name is Henny, and his priority was on making disciples of Jesus. And he did, right? God moved in a powerful way. Hundreds of men, women, and children trusted in Christ as their Savior, and a church was born as Henny was faithful to point them to Jesus. And his story, it gets wild. I'm going to tell you more in just a few minutes, but I want you to know this before we really get into this, that Henny's call to make disciples is not unique to him, not at all. His location was very unique. His circumstances, yeah, absolutely, they were unique, but the call's not. The call is the same for all of us. Christians are called to make disciples of Jesus. It is a priority for us. We see it through the teachings of Jesus. We see it right there in the New Testament church. And as we focus on that priority today of making disciples, we're going to look at Matthew 28 and 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're kicking off a three-week series today called Priorities, where we're going to unpack our church's focus priorities. And then when that series is done, we're going to do a book study through the Old Testament book of Nehemiah. It's going to be a great spring. I'm really, really excited about it. But for this morning, our focus priorities, we say them like this. There's three of them. Champion Forest, that's our church family, advances the kingdom by making disciples, by loving our community, and strengthening the church, right? This is what Jesus has told us to do in his word, right? It's our desire. It's our mission statement, so to speak. We go over it in our new members class. Our next new members class is next Sunday morning at 9:30. If you've been here for a while and you're ready to become a member, or you just want to learn more about who we are, text membership to the number on your screen. You'll get a link with information on how to do just that. But for this morning, know that we are talking about the priorities of our church. We're going to tackle them, we're going to unpack them, and just know our goal is to be very, very practical, very, very hands-on in how we can and should do this as a church family. And here's what I think you're going to discover as we walk through these focus priorities. Not only should they define us collectively as a church, as we walk through these, I'm hoping and praying that you're going to see that these priorities should define our personal lives as well. Because guess what? Who's the church? We are, right? We are the church. If you're taking notes this morning, our title is that first focus priority. And by the way, there's going to be a test on these. It's pass or fail. I'll give it to you next week. And I'm going to give you some of the questions now so that you can be ready for your test. Here's your first question. Feel free to answer it out loud if you're ready. What is the first focus priority of our church family? Making disciples. If you answered it out loud, you get an A, right? You're tracking along. Now, if you knew it and you weren't confident enough to say it out loud, you get a C minus. You're passing, but just barely. If you didn't know it, now you do, and you're going to pass the test next week. It's going to be great. Our title this morning is Making Disciples. Think about what a disciple is, okay? Think about disciple. At its most basic level, the word disciple that we read about in the Bible, it means learner, learner. Now, at the time of Jesus, first century, there's two main models or forms of discipleship. You had the Greek model, think Aristotle and Plato. That is in a school, it is lecture style, right? Classroom style, that's the Greek model. The Hebrew model was very, very different. Right? The Hebrew model was a life-on-life discipleship. You didn't just listen to what a teacher had to say. As a disciple, you literally followed their way of life. You followed them around. You traveled with them. You ate meals with them. You observed his way of life. It was more of a come-alongside mentorship investment kind of discipleship, mentor model. In fact, there's a word that's used back then to describe the relationship between the teacher and the disciple, and it goes something like this: may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. Think about the visual that's painting. May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. It's this idea that you are following so closely behind the person that you are seeking to learn from that as they walk in front of you, they are kicking up dust from their heels onto you. This is the relationship we see between Jesus and his disciples, the ones that followed him. Now, open to those verses we talked about. The first is Matthew 28. If we're talking about discipleship, this should come as no surprise to you. This verse, this section, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, it's often called the Great Commission because these are the final words of Jesus in the Gospels before he ascends to heaven, right? He is commissioning his disciples, his followers, that includes you and me, to do what he's called us to do. Look at it, Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations," right? This is the call of Christ on our lives. As we are going through life, we are to make disciples. So as we are going to work, as we are going home, as we are living in our neighborhood, as we are sitting in the bleachers with our kids, parents, friends, right? As we are walking through life, our call is to make disciples. And not just disciples, not people that have trusted in Christ. It goes deeper than that. We make disciples, and look at verse 19. We baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Baptism is important. It's a command of Christ. It shows publicly that we are following Jesus, that we are walking in the way that he's called us to walk. But baptism is not the end either. Look at how it continues in verse 20. Right? We make a disciple, we baptize them, and then we teach them to observe everything that Jesus has commanded. There's a difference, right, but between a convert and a disciple. Right? A disciple is learning the ways of Jesus, growing in intimacy with him. And then look at the promise that Jesus gives us as he wraps up this commission. He says, "I am with you always to the very end of the age. Go and make disciples." Here's what I want to do as we approach the middle of this message. I want to spend a few minutes outlining for you how you can be a disciple of Jesus, right? How you can learn, how you can grow, how you can continue learning as a disciple of Jesus, how you can follow so closely in the footsteps of Jesus day in and day out that the dust is being kicked up on you. And let me just say this, if you are walking closely and intimately with Jesus, maybe these things will help you along the way, but here's what I want you to grasp onto. As we walk through this and you're thinking, yeah, I'm doing that. The question I'm going to ask you in a minute is this: who are you helping to do this with you? All right, let's look at this together. We know that discipleship, it starts when we trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior for the forgiveness of our sins. That is a definite moment of beginning in our relationship with Christ. John 3:16 says this: "God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son," we know that to be Jesus, "that whoever believes in Jesus would not perish, but would have eternal life." So when you believe in Christ, you are stepping into this relationship with him, and it's not like a one and done thing. It's a relationship where we begin to follow after him closely and intimately. Think about the dust of the rabbi, of the teacher in front of us. Now, physically, we're not going to find that dust because we can read Scripture and we know that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. So for us today, the primary way for us to develop that kind of closeness in our lives is by giving ourselves to prayer and the time reading our Bibles, right? The Word of God. This is how we grow in that intimate relationship with Jesus. We know as we open up the Bible, that's where Jesus is revealed. What we know about Jesus, we know from reading the Word of God, It's where we learn his teaching, what he told his disciples to do. I'm telling you this morning, there is very little spiritual growth that is going to happen in your life between you and Jesus if you are not spending time following after him closely in prayer and in the word, right? That is the foundation. And so from there, I just want to get really, really practical. How do we do that? How can we grow in this? Because all of us, and if we're followers of Jesus, we would say we want to grow in that kind of discipleship. We want to know and experience that closeness and that intimacy that comes through time with him. So with that in mind, let me just share with you six very practical pointers that could help all of us to grow as learners, to grow as disciples of Jesus. And the first one is this. It's very simple. We've just got to think about it the right way. When we think about this, we are thinking relationship. Right, that's what discipleship with Jesus is. It is a relationship with him. It's growing. So you're going to hear people say things like have a quiet time and an intentional time to prayer. We call those spiritual disciplines because they do take discipline and we should do those. But you always have to keep in mind when you are getting alone with the Lord that you are building a relationship. You're not navigating a checklist, right? You're not accomplishing a to-do list. You are growing. You are following. You are fostering a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And so listen, reading our Bible and praying and worshiping, being connected to a church family, all of it is critical. Critical. But they're not an end in themselves, right? They're a means to an end, meaning they help you to grow or to follow after closely in your relationship with Jesus. True discipleship is a growing relationship that you have with Christ, and it's not going to happen unless you are thinking about it the right way. You are intentionally growing a living, breathing, active relationship. Pointer number two, find a time and place where you're going to meet with Jesus, right? You develop your rhythm. If you look around the room, it will come as no surprise to know that we are all wired very differently. A lot of different kinds of people in the room. Some of y'all are morning people. Anybody a morning person in here? You love to wake up early, right? Nobody understands you guys, right? Y'all are a different breed. I wish that I was one of you. But some people are early morning people. Some people are late night people, right? We got some of those in here. I'm good about 2 p.m., right? Right there in the middle of the day. We're all wired differently. Then pick your spot, right? Some people love to be outside. Some people love the busyness of a coffee shop. But I'm just telling you this. The chances of you fostering that relationship and spending the time that you need to spend are going to go up dramatically if you have a consistent rhythm. For Chelsea, it's every morning before the kids wake up at the kitchen table with a cup of coffee. For me, it's a chair in my office. Find a time and place. It's really going to help. Number three, develop a reading plan. A reading plan. I've talked to a lot of people, especially happens in January, that are on fire to read their Bible, and they do for 3 days. And then it sort of trails off. And the number one reason that it trails off is this. It's not really a time thing. People can find the time. They'll make the time. They just don't know where to start. And they don't know what to read. And if they're not running on a specific track, it's pretty easy to fall off. So develop a reading plan, right? Pick one and do it. Here's mine. I'm in Deuteronomy right now. I'm reading through an Old Testament book. When I finish Deuteronomy, probably tomorrow or the next day, I'll pick a New Testament book. And then when I finish that book, I'll go back to the Old Testament. That's just my rhythm. I like to do that. Old Testament, New Testament, a book at a time. Either way, every day I'll read a little bit of Psalms and a little bit of Proverbs as well. And then when it's done, I'll check them off as I go. I'll make notes all throughout my Bible. When it's done, I'll pick up a new Bible and I'll start again. Right? It's just a way for me to consistently read through Scripture. That's my plan. Pastor Jarrett's plan is sort of similar. What Pastor Jarrett does every day is he reads one Old Testament chapter, one New Testament chapter. He'll read one proverb and a couple of Psalms every single day. That's his rhythm, and it works for him. I want to encourage you, if you don't have a rhythm, find a rhythm that works for you and get into it, right? Begin reading your Bible consistently, and you don't have to come up with a plan on your own. There are several great plans out there that you can read through. Let me share three. The first is the YouVersion Bible app. Anybody have that on their cell phones? It's fantastic. You might have seen that at the end of this past year, they hit a major milestone. Remember what it is? Their 1 billionth download. 1 billion people in the world have access to the Word of God through this app. If you're one of them, at the very bottom of the app, you can hit reading plans. You can find a 3-day plan, a 3-week plan, a 3-year plan, whatever. They are all there. pick one and read it. My favorite one on there, I've done this with several groups of people, it's the Essential 100. It's 100 days, half Old Testament, half New Testament. Phenomenal plan to read through God's Word. Find one and just go. I talk to some people sometimes that say they're not good readers. They don't like to read. One of the benefits of this, it'll read it to you. Right? When you get to your reading for the day, you can hit play down at the bottom and you will audibly hear the Word of God read over you. That counts, right? That's how the New Testament church heard it. These letters, they were read out loud to them, right? So it counts. Listen to the Word of God on your commute. Get it in you. Consistently read the Word of God. Another reading plan, the Bible recap, phenomenal. A lot of notes in there, a lot of commentary work in there. It explains to you what you are reading if you like that. There's a lot of people in our church doing that this year. And then finally, if you've got a student or a teenager, really anyone from like 10 to 18 years old, God's Great Story, it's phenomenal. My kids have all done it. They read through it this past year. It's really, really good. If you got grandkids in that age range, I'm just telling you, that's a good one. Kids will do it, and it helps them explain how the Bible fits together, right? Beginning to end, how this whole thing fits. It increases their understanding, and the more they understand it, the more passionate and excited they are to read it. Get a good plan. Next, number four, as you work through your plan, limit distractions and refuse to rush. It's one of the reasons why morning is good, less distractions. Day hadn't really started yet. Put the phone down and open your Bible. Here's a phrase that I've heard that I think helps with this, that gets people into the Word first thing in the morning. Think about your room. So, like, got a nightstand sitting there, my Bible is on it. And in addition to my Bible, my phone is sitting. My phone is my alarm clock, okay? And so I heard this phrase used once. I would give credit. I don't remember where I heard it. Here it is. Make this your mantra. Remember this every single day of this year. Word before world. Word before world, meaning this. You've got both of them sitting right there. Your Bible and your phone. Pick up the Bible first. Spend time here first, before you open your phone, before you scroll on social media, before you read the news articles of the day, before you get caught up in your emails, word before world. I'm telling you right now, there are a lot of people in our church family that will be radically different at the end of 2026 if they made the commitment every single day to open their Bible before they picked up their phone. Next, as you read, again, this is relationship. Right, we are growing a relationship. We are following after Jesus, covered in the dust of our teacher, of our rabbi. As you read, our next point is this. Do what God tells you to do. Relationship. The entire point of a relationship with Jesus is to be like him. To live like he lived. To do what he's called us to do. We don't just pray and read our Bible to take in more. The goal is not just to grow in our head knowledge. There's a saying, and I really pray, and I hope that it's not true of us, but here's the saying. Some of us are educated beyond our level of obedience. Think about what that means. Some of us are educated beyond our level of obedience. If you're not tracking with me, here's what it means. Some of us know so much that we can win Bible trivia every single time, but we stink at living it out. Scripture warns us against that. A lot of places, James 1:22 is one of the places, says this, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Learning without living means that we have deceived ourselves. We read, we pat ourselves on the back, but in reality, we've missed the point, that the point is to follow closely behind Jesus, that the point is to walk intimately with him, in relationship with him, so we learn about him, his word, his will, his ways, and so that his word, his will, and his ways impress themselves deep down into our heart and overflow into our lives. In fact, Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, what are you going to do? If you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. And then finally, if we're looking for ways to grow as disciples, as learners, as people following closely behind Jesus, give yourself grace. You're going to miss some days. It's going to happen. different stages of life, busy seasons and boring seasons. They're all wrapped up in there together. Just remember, as you walk through this, this is about a relationship, right? Knowing Jesus, right? That this is what it looks like to be a learner, to be a disciple of Jesus. And that leads us to part two of our time together this morning, right? We want to learn how to be disciples, how to be learners. And then as we are learning how to be learners, we want to learn how to make disciples as well. Because you read the Great Commission a minute ago. You know that if you're a follower of Jesus, your call is to introduce others to Jesus as well, so that they can follow Jesus like you are following Jesus. Back to Mozambique, right? My missionary friend, South Africa, Mozambique, and he did this, right? But he missed the last part. He made disciples, but he didn't make disciples who make disciples. He showed the people that he was with how to grow, and they began to grow. And then the war ended, and they all went home back to their country of Mozambique, and a few months go by, and one of the men from that church family shows back up in South Africa, and he's desperate. He doesn't know what to do, and he's begging Henny, hey, come to Mozambique. You've got to be our pastor here. Nobody knows what to say. Nobody knows what we're doing. Nobody is equipped to help us continue growing in our relationship with Christ. And here's what Henny realized in that moment. He had not invested in any of them in a way that they were equipped to make disciples that made disciples, right? And that's a real problem. And for Henny, knowing it was a problem, I love what he did. He didn't say, well, listen, y'all are far away. That's not my problem anymore. He jumped in to solve it in a biblical way. We don't have time for the whole story, but he navigated landmines, he navigated soldiers, he navigated a complete lack of an infrastructure to get to where he needed to be in Mozambique, and he began to invest in those people one more time, but with a different level of intentionality. And his ministry was framed by 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Look at that with me now. It says, what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also, right? That's what he set out to do. He wanted to teach people so well that they were disciples who could make disciples so that it could keep going and spreading in the community. And it worked. People noticed. There was a difference there in that city. A lot of people began to see, a lot of people were attracted to it, but unfortunately, one of the groups of people that saw this great work of God among the people was the local Communist Party there. They saw something going on and they showed up. And like most communist governments, they were 100% opposed to any belief in God or the expression of a belief in God. So everything that Henny was doing in Mozambique was illegal. And they were prepared, they arrested him, they were prepared to throw him out of the country. And so the Holy Spirit, right, Henny tells a story, it's unreal, led him to make a deal, a suggestion with these communist leaders. He told them, if you let me stay here, I'll bring people that I know. He said, my son's an engineer, I'll bring people from South Africa. They'll come into this village and they will drill a water well and they'll build like a steel pavilion that the entire town can use here. Now, remember the country. The Civil War destroyed it. There was no clean water. There was no running water. The people were getting water from the women. They would go down literally to the river and bring it back in a bucket on their heads and pour it into bins for people to use all day long. All of the only permanent buildings that were there, well, there were no permanent buildings there. The only buildings that were there were made of mud and sticks. He says, I'll make the investment in this community. And the communist leaders thought, okay, that's a fair trade, and so they let him stay, right? So he began to build that, and he continued living out 2 Timothy 2:2 and trusting the gospel, right, to people that were able to teach others. He made disciples that made disciples. He walked so closely with Christ, he brought other people along to see how he was walking with Christ so they could do it too. And as they walked with him, he encouraged, hey, who is in your life that you can invite into the same kind of relationship? You're walking with Jesus. You need to be showing other people how to do that as well. This is disciple making. We define discipleship as relationship. Disciple making, it's relationship as well. It's personal attention. It's guidance from one spiritual generation to the next. And what are we guiding them to? Well, we're guiding them to be learners. We're guiding them to be followers who are equipped in such a way that they can turn around and help other people follow Jesus as well. Think of it like spiritual parenting. And just in 2 Timothy 2:2, look at it in your Bible. There's four generations of the gospel there. You've got Paul, who invested in Timothy, who invested in faithful men, who were able to teach others also. Four generations of the gospel. How did that happen? Paul walked with Jesus. He followed closely. He developed an intimate relationship with Christ. And he said, Timothy, come and see what I'm doing and learn from me as we do this. And then Timothy began to do that with others. Listen, we see it right here in 2 Timothy 2, that there's not a specific formula of what that needs to look like other than relationship. As you and I walk with Jesus, we're going to help other people do the same thing. That's our call. It's going to take time. There's going to be seasons where this is messy. It's going to take intentionality. We have to be willing to be invested into the lives of other people. It's life-on-life relationship, right? That's how we make disciples that make disciples. Don't overthink this. It starts by being a disciple, learning and growing, and then inviting others into the process. It's very, very simple. But unfortunately, it is rarely done with intentionality. Danny Akin was the president of Southeastern Seminary for a long time, interacted with thousands of pastors and thousands of churches every single week. I want you to listen to what he says. He says, the absence of people living out 2 Timothy 2:2 is the biggest weakness of the church today. Think about that. There's probably a lot of weaknesses that people could point out in the church today. This seminary president, looking at the church across our country, says the biggest weakness is that people aren't making disciples that make disciples. Why not? Well, because a lot of us aren't willing to go deep with others relationally. And that has to change. So here's the question that we've got to answer. Who are you passing your faith on to? Who are you inviting into your walk with Jesus? You know, you're walking close with him. Who are you saying, hey, come with me. Follow me as I follow after Jesus. Right? That's the call of every believer. Make disciples that make disciples. I want you to understand that God has intentionally and strategically placed you where you are in this season of your life to make disciples that make disciples. You're not going to be in this season forever. One day you're going to move and those neighbors aren't going to be there anymore. One day you're going to retire. You're going to change jobs and those coworkers, they're not going to be there anymore. One day those clients aren't going to be there. One day you're going to go to a different coffee shop. You see where I'm going with this, right? God has strategically has you where you are so you can invest in other people, so you can mentor them, so you can bring them along and make disciples that make disciples, right? That's what Henny was doing in Mozambique. He was showing people how to follow Jesus and he was equipping them to turn around and show others how to follow Jesus. And the gospel was moving forward in a dramatic way in that little city. And here's the deal. A few months go by. He has built everything that he needs to build in that city. He's revisited by those same leaders. And he's thinking, okay, I know how this works. I did the work. I spent the money. Now they're going to throw me out. And so they came in. They inspected his work. And they looked around the city. And here's what they said. This city is different. It's not the water, it's not the building, it's the people. This city is different. Our country's in ruins. The people here, they have joy. The people here, there's a sense of hope among them. The people here, there is kindness expressed from one to another. What's going on in this city? And he said, it's the gospel. He said, it's the hope that they have in Jesus Christ. And those leaders, they didn't buy in. They said, I don't know about that. But they did say, we know that things are different and we want our entire country to be different. And they gave him a different kind of permission. He had permission to be in one city at that point. He stepped out of it, he was gone. They said, we want you to do this in 100 more cities across the middle of this country because we know there's something different among the people here. And so that's what he did, right? He went from city to city doing that exact same thing, making disciples that make disciples. And the gospel exploded in that country, in that region of Africa. right? Think about how God could move in our community right here if we were focused on making disciples that made disciples. God sends us out to so many different neighborhoods and places and families every single Sunday when we leave here. And what if we all went with that intentional focus to invest in the people around us in such a way that they followed closely after Jesus, like we followed closely after Jesus, and they did it for so long, and they learned so well that they were able to turn around and do the same for others. And there's this ripple effect, this multiplication of the gospel across our city. It absolutely, absolutely can happen. And that's why as a church, first and foremost, that's our priority. We know that we are called to make disciples. If you're sitting here thinking, okay, that sounds great, I want to do that, but maybe you're thinking that you need to be discipled first, you need to maybe come along behind somebody that's following Jesus so you can learn from them and how they're following Jesus so you can see how they navigate the different seasons of life, let's help you. Let's get you in that discipleship relationship. We have a program for that. Many of you have gone through it. Many of you have led somebody through it. It's called Next Steps. Right, and we've got this discipleship book where you can get in a relationship with another believer and work through it and really learn and see what it looks like to get so close to Jesus that the dust is being kicked up on you. It's a phenomenal program written right here by a lot of our staff and lay leaders. And if you want to be a part of that, just text Next Step to the number that's on the screen. Don't put a space there, right? It's got to be one word right there together. You could be a couple and we could match you up with another couple. You could be a man, we could match you up with another man. A lady, we could match you up with another lady. It's a phenomenal program. And if you're serious about learning how to be a disciple, man, this is a great step for you at the beginning of the year. And on the flip side of that, if you're saying, you know what, I've been walking with Jesus for a long time, that dust is getting kicked up on me, but I'm not really doing much to help other people come walk with me, and text the same thing, right? And you'll see on that link a spot where you can say, hey, listen, I've been walking with Christ. I'd love to help somebody else walk closely with Jesus. And whether it's through this program or not, discipleship matters, right? God's called every single one of us to follow closely after him and to reach out and to bring other people along to do the exact same thing. So let me ask you two questions as we close. And the first is simple. Are you a disciple? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And are you in a growing relationship with him? It starts there, right? Well, we can't move on to something else until you know Christ as your Lord and Savior. Our 9:30 service, six people got baptized that had trusted in Christ in the last couple of weeks. They realized that they had been around a lot of disciples, but they themselves had never trusted in Christ. And they took that step and they made it public today. Maybe you're at a spot where you're ready to take that step. If that's the case, in just a few minutes, I want you to come pray with one of our pastors about that. And the second question is this. If you are a disciple, are you a disciple maker? Are you a disciple maker? I mean, technically, when we look at the Great Commission, we know that disciples make disciples. So my question for you is, are you passing on your faith? Are you entrusting the hope you have in Jesus to someone else? Let's make it a priority this year, right? Because in the end, really, that's all that matters. Would you pray with me this morning? If you bow your head, I want you to just wrestle with those two questions. Am I a disciple? Right? Do I know Jesus? Am I growing in my relationship with him? Am I walking closely behind him? Seeing what he's called me to do, seeing how he's called me to live. Am I learning from him? And is what I'm learning from him shaping my life and everything I think, say, and do? Am I a disciple of Jesus? And the second question, am I making disciples? Pray about that for a minute. God, you've strategically placed me where I am for a reason. Help me, God. Help me to follow so closely after you. And God, help me to have the boldness to invite others into that relationship so I can teach them to do the same. I'm going to pray in just a moment. We're going to stand and worship with one last song. And we're going to have pastors and prayer partners down here at the front that would love to pray with you about whatever God's doing in your life. Maybe you're here saying, I'm ready to become a disciple of Christ. I want to commit my life to him. We'd love to pray with you about that. Maybe you've got some people that you want to begin mentoring, right? Bringing along in the journey with you. And you want us to pray over them and over you and that new relationship. Yeah, we'd love to pray about that. Maybe baptism's your next step. Maybe you want to talk to somebody about being a member of our church. Or maybe you're here this morning and 2026 has not started the way you hoped it would. You're walking through a season and you just want somebody to pray over you and what's going on in your life. Whatever it is, when we stand and sing, our pastors are here and we'd love to pray with you. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for your love for us, God. We thank you for your love for us, God. And Lord, I pray that as we walk closely with you, that we would be inviting others to do the same. So in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Champion Forest Online. We hope today's message encouraged and inspired you. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We would love the opportunity to get to know you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. We're so glad you joined us today, and we'll see you again next time.